So love, dates, and heartbreaks. We're in week number 4 here. And I actually get to talk about some of the things we've talked about the last 2 weeks at a wedding. I'm doing a wedding on Saturday in Fresno. So I'll do that wedding on Saturday evening and then drive back here so I can be here Sunday morning. But I get to talk on Sunday about, or Saturday night, what love is. And that so much of love is a choice, as we've talked about the last couple weeks. And if you've been with us, we have been looking the first week at what Jesus writes to us. He says, I give you this command that you would love. And it's not just an open-ended love, just love however it feels good or feels right. It's very specific. It's love as I have loved you. And then Paul digs in deeper to what does that love look like? How does Jesus love us? And we've given you, you know, we've kind of gone through each of these very specific things. So let me kind of recap with you here for a moment. So this is what love is. So much is what we choose to do on a daily basis. It is patient. We choose, hopefully, to be kind, not jealous, not arrogant, honoring, selfless, which is hard. There's a maturity that comes when we choose to be selfless. Not easily angered. We talked about that love is not easily provoked or stirred up last week. It's not a scorekeeper. Love doesn't keep a record of wrong, some of the translations will say. Real love, it is trusting, it is hopeful, it is persevering. It's not, hey, I'll just love you however you love me, or I'll just love you how I hope you will love me. It's bigger than that. It's love as Jesus has loved you. I mean, this is a big deal. When Jesus says this to the disciples and ultimately to us, this kind of love, he hasn't yet gone to the cross, but when Jesus goes to the cross and he dies on the cross and then ultimately is resurrected, that's a whole new deal of love. They're like, wow, that's selfless love, that he would lay down his life for us. That takes it to a whole different level when he calls us to love as he has loved. So Paul writes to us and he says, we need to have the same attitude, the same mindset as Christ in the way that we love people. Now, if you missed the first 3 weeks of this, I just want to encourage you, go to the website and listen, or maybe even better, on your phone, go to the church center online, go to that app and find Community Christian, and you can get all the information on the events you heard that are coming up, and you can listen to the messages. So I'd encourage you to get that app. And so today, this is where we're going. We're going to move into the second part of this series. We talked about love for 3 weeks. We're going to talk about dates. We're going to talk about dating. Now, one of the fun things we thought we would do today is on the back over here, I can see some of them on the, there's some windows over here. We want you just to put your favorite pickup line, or put your two favorite pickup lines on there. Now, I would just say this, keep it appropriate. It's still church. But right, we thought that'd be fun to get some of those pickup lines, take pictures of them. We'll post some of that this week. But since we're talking about dating, put some of your favorite pickup lines over there on your way out this morning. I see a bunch hanging back there that I'm actually looking forward to reading what people wrote down. As we talk about dating this morning, in the room, you either want to date, you are dating, or maybe you're married or you're in a season of life where you're like, well, that dating doesn't really apply to me. If you're in that season where you think, oh, this doesn't apply to me, let me just say to you, you are around people in your work, in your family, in your friends groups, people who are dating, want to talk about dating, and you need to have some wisdom and some knowledge to share with them. Dating is part of our culture all the time. And as I talk about dating this morning, you just got to understand the things that I'm going to say, because they're founded in the truth of what Jesus calls us to do. They can apply to your marriage if you're married, and mostly any of your relationships. But we're going to talk specifically about dating this morning. But even if you're not in the dating realm of life, there's so much to grab a hold of here, so much truth either to share or to apply to your own relationships. Now, let me give you the big idea this morning. The big idea is this. If you don't want a relationship like the majority of relationships, don't date like the majority of daters. Where I see dating culture going, like a lot of culture, it's not in alignment with who God would call us to be and the way he would call us to love people. So we've got to do something differently. I could say it this way. If you don't want a marriage like the majority of marriages, don't date like the majority of daters. Now, as we talk about marriage, there's some of you in the room, particularly those in the generation younger than me, you're not so sure about marriage. Because my generation and generations ahead, we haven't done a great job sometimes in our marriages and demonstrating what a great marriage could look like and the value of marriage and doing marriage the way that God designed. So some of you are like, I don't know if I want to move into marriage. I don't know about that. And let me just say to you, as you think about dating, the idea of dating is to move you, I would say, towards marriage. Marriage is God's idea. Family is God's idea. It is a good thing. It can be done well. We have couples in this room that are doing marriage well. I saw couples after our last service who have been married 50 years plus and are doing it well. And yes, love, one of the things love is persevering. and it's kind and it's patient. It needs all those things because marriage and doing life together is not always easy, but marriage is the best picture for us to even understand how God chooses to love us and how to be selfless and how to love unconditionally. It's not easy, but it's a God-designed thing that is good. And as you think about dating and where it's leading, I hope you're also thinking about marriage. Now, Paul sets us up well. Last week, we came out of 1 Corinthians, and this passage I read to you a minute ago are listed for you all the things that love is supposed to be. And then he writes this statement, or makes this statement, which really leads us into talking about dating this week. And this is what Paul wrote. He says, "When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put the ways of childhood behind me." There's so much that I see in our dating culture, to be quite honest, that lacks maturity and it's childish. And if you're in the dating culture in this room, I'm not calling you childish. I'm just talking about this whole thing as a whole. It's childish. And it doesn't matter if I'm interacting with teens or even people in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. There's just some childish things that we're doing. There's some immaturity in our dating culture. It reminds me of when I was in junior high. When I was back in junior high, we actually had a phone in our house, all right? I'm not old enough. I did not have a rotary phone, all right? I'm not going back that far. We had one of those at my grandparents' house. You know what I'm talking about? We had to turn it and click it. We had a phone, though, that connected to the wall. There is no cell phone. You actually had to push dial. And so I remember being on the phone with my buddy in junior high, and he's like, "I like this girl. I wonder if she likes me," because junior high kids in our immaturity, we don't want to like ask somebody to go around or whatever your lingual was in your time unless you know you're going to get a yes. So you're always trying to fill this out because that's what we do in our immaturity. We don't have the boldness to just step up and ask. So, "Hey, do you think she likes me?" "I don't know." "Okay, give her a call and find out." So I get off of that call, right? Pick up the phone. I call this girl. I get into a conversation with her. "What do you think about my buddy? Do you like him? If he, you know, you get," and I'm going back and forth as the middleman between these people. Any of you do that in junior high? You remember doing that even in high school? Yeah, I see some head nods. We do it now. We do the same thing. We just do it over social media. We do it over text. And we don't just do it as junior high kids or even as high school kids. Some, I see it throughout our culture. Particularly, as we're going to talk about in a minute, about dating, some of us as men, we don't want to take the risk of just asking them out. We want to have a certainty, and so we play these games. And there's so much childish behavior within our dating culture. Some people would write it this way or have said this about the dating culture, simply this statement: dating is complicated. This is what we've gotten to. Dating in this time, in this era, it is complicated. Now, let me just read you some stuff that you can find online. There's people who blog about dating, you know, solicit thoughts and different things. These are some things that are out there. This is what one person wrote about dating. "Online dating is the worst. Each time I ask friends ranging from early 20s to their 40s how the temperature in the dating pool is, I'm met with borderline hostility. For all the talk of ease that a dating app allows for a potential date, the impression I'm left with is everyone is swimming in a pool they all took a dump in." This is people in the dating culture talking about their own dating culture. "Instead of shocking the water and getting out, everyone decided they need to keep swimming in the sewage, perhaps even adding to it, because that pool is where people swim." These are people talking about the dating culture and what's out there. Here's another person wrote this: "We don't communicate our feelings to one another, but instead play this guessing game with no intention of being with that person because it means you care and you're weak." Interesting, right? Oh, if you care too much, you're weak. And this is the last statement here. "Because whoever cares the least wins," right? And there's a question. It's just left open because that's what people are seeing in their own dating culture. "Well, wow, if I care too much, I'm weak, and they might not care as much about me, and so I don't want to be in that position." And so we can't even be vulnerable. We can't even pursue the relationships we want. A woman writes this: "I'm definitely as much to blame as any of the men I meet. I'm often unwilling to make the space in my life a relationship needs in order to thrive. Maybe this will all change when I meet the right man." Maybe I'm not willing to give the time and the energy. Maybe if the right person comes along, but I'm to blame because I'm not willing to give up the energy it takes to do this right. When we take things that are designed for adults, designed for mature people, and we hand them to immature people or we hand them to children, right, it becomes complicated. Things that are designed for adults when handed to children become complicated. Children don't know how to handle those things. As long as we approach romance, sexual attraction, relationships from a childish mindset, it's going to be complicated because this is what children naturally are. All of us were children at one point. Some of you in the room still have little children. This is what children are. And this is opposite from the list of what love is, because as children, we are impatient. We are self-seeking, so much self, self-centered, selfish, easily angered. I have two girls at home, right? They want to be held until they don't want to be held. They want their way. And if they don't get their way, they vocalize that, sometimes very loudly. Easily distracted, ill-mannered, rude. These aren't the things that we want in healthy dating relationships and ultimately a healthy marriage, but this is so much of the childish behavior that we have and that I see, and it's so opposite from what Paul says loving and caring and loving like Christ really is. Paul writes, put the ways of childhood behind. If we come into relationships and dating with a childish mindset, we fall back into the myths that we mentioned in week one. Week one, we talked about the right person myth. This myth that once I find the right person, it'll just work out. See, a childish mindset is like, oh, you know, it'll just work out. Once we say I do, it'll be fine. The stuff from the past won't come with me. Oh, these relationships that I was in, I knew I wasn't going to marry that person, so maybe I didn't act the best, care for them the best. Maybe I manipulated a little bit. Oh, that won't really matter, like, because somehow I'm not bringing that forward. And that's just wrong. Somehow we think the things I did in high school and grad school, or the things I do on that business trip when nobody's watching, that they won't matter in the dating relationship and ultimately the marriage we want. That's just false. It's not true. It's wrong. It's a myth. Childish mindset thinks like that. Here's the truth about us. You are who you prepare to be. You are the sum total of your habits and what you actually say and what you actually do. See, we think, oh man, when I meet the right person, then I'll be the right person and I'll pull it together. Because inside, I know who I really am. I know I'm acting and saying and doing these things, but no, I'm better than that. No, you're not better than that. We are what we actually display, what we actually put out, what we actually say. That's who we are. And so we better get prepared to date well. And in dating, we need to do it right so we are prepared well ultimately to have good relationship and I would say marriage. So what do we have to do? We date, for those of you who are dating or find yourself in the dating world again, we have to exercise our relational muscles. Some of you grew up in homes, and you need to praise God for this. Well, your family taught you how to speak honestly and truthfully, and how to honor one another with your words, and how to communicate well, and how to deal with conflict. But some of you didn't grow up in a home like that, and you're trying to learn these things that you need for a relationship. Actual dating takes work. If we're actually gonna date, we need to prepare. Actual dating, it's risky. Why is real dating risky? Because it exposes our fears and our insecurities and our anxieties, because we're digging into real relationship. We have to exercise these muscles, and some of us, our muscles aren't very strong in these areas. Because we're not very strong in our culture, we try and find workarounds to dating, or we try and find substitutes. I'm kind of in, I'm kind of out, I'm doing this online thing. Hey, let's hang out, but I don't want to call it a date. And we try and find these easy ways to enter relationships instead of just dating and building up these relational muscles. What are some of these things that we have to build up? And in our marriages, those of you who are married, we need to be building these things up as well. If you're dating, you need to be practicing these things as you date, because it's going to prepare you well and set you up well to have the kind of relationship you want. We need to exercise and practice and build our self-control, our communication, our courage, I would even say our boldness, how we honor people. We need to build up that honor muscle, how we honor. Some of us need to build up how we plan and how we prepare, because relationships take plan and preparation and some thinking ahead and some intentionality. There's some things that we need to practice, and these things, as I said, are necessary for healthy relationships. Now, this morning is going to be a little different. The New Testament talks about things that are absolutely applicable to our relationships. All the time when I talk about Jesus inviting you to follow him or to imprint us under him, when we plug into Jesus, we get to see what good relationship looks like. Again, how to honor people, how to do conflict, how to do tension, how to live selflessly. We learn all of that from Jesus. And the New Testament talks so much about how we are to love as Jesus loves. That's the framework. That's the umbrella for this whole thing. But when it comes to talking specifically about dating and dating culture, guess how much is in the New Testament? Zero. Doesn't talk about dating specifically. Because in that time, right, in the ancient world, and even still in some of the world today, people got married very young, and a lot of it was arranged. It was very different. dating in culture, particularly in the Western culture, it's not that old. It's not been a big part of history when you really look at it. And nowadays, for some of you who are in the dating phase, particularly if you're young adult college, we've extended adolescence so long. It's so different. And people are getting married so much later, partly because we have different life expectancy and different expectations on career and education. We're in this weird world that we haven't experienced before. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want to speak in to the dating culture. And I'm going to give you 5 rules. And I got to tell you, all of these are under the umbrella of what the New Testament says about genuine love. And not just love in general, loving as Christ loves. But there's not scripture for me to pull from. So I'm going to share with you some of the things I know from sitting down with married couples who are doing it well, and married couples who are struggling, and people who have been dating and are in the complication of the dating world, and my time with teens over the years, and my time with young adults. I'm going to share with you from some of that. And we're going to talk about 5 rules for dating. So let me lay down a little framework for this really quickly. Ladies, you need to know this about us men. Men, we already know this about ourselves. If we don't have to, we won't. The ladies are shaking their heads. If we don't have to, we won't. Specifically, relationally. That's not true at work or on the basketball court, but it is true in relationships. Man, okay, if I don't have to ask you out, if you're going to make it easy on me, if you're going to basically ask me out or whatever, I'm going to take the path of least resistance. I'm not going to step into some things I need to step into. The same is true, men, as I talk to you, I'm talking to myself here. This is embarrassing for us, and we know this about ourselves, particularly in the home and in the church. There are things in the home that we need to step into. We need to lead. We need to make decisions about, but sometimes we're stepping back, and because we have married strong, awesome women, because there's awesome, godly women in our church, they step into that gap and into that void, and they take on things that we should be leading in. Happens in our home and in the church. And men, if in your home, I would just say, if you're winning that battle, if you're choosing not to be passive, if you're choosing to be decisive in the things you need to be decisive in, that is so good for your family. And it is so good for your children that you are just not abdicating your role and stepping back, because we do it far too often in our homes and in our church. But let me just lay that as a groundwork as we get into 5 kind of fun rules for dating. None of this morning is rocket science. And you're gonna be like, I could have said that. You know this stuff, but it's the truth we have to come back to, because we need to talk about healthy dating culture, because a lot of you are in the dating world or around people who are dating. All right, 1, very simple. I told you it's not rocket science. Guys, ask girls on dates. Ask, and the women say amen. Ask girls on dates. Actually, use the word date. Married men, some of us could learn from this as well. Maybe we need to take our wife on an actual date, okay? This is how it looks. I would like to take you on a date to list a specific time and place. Okay? This is what I hear all the time. This is what's going on. And this is the fallback. And this is kind of the workaround. Want to hang out? That's what we say. Instead of saying, hey, well, I want to take you on a date to a specific place and a specific time. You want to hang out? Or we say this. You want to do something sometime? There's no clarity in that. Clarity, okay? It's part of honoring that person you're asking out. It's part of good communication. It's part of the risk to say, I want to take you on a date. Okay, this is what it looks like. It's very simple. It's Sunday, and you go up to somebody and you say, I have tickets to the Sharks game on Thursday. If you're available, I would enjoy taking you on a date. You make it clear. See, if you're going to ask, it's a risk. You've already kind of freaked out about asking them. Now you've given them a time. You've given them a few days to freak out themselves to decide if they're going to say yes to you. And you've also given them an out. You've given them a specific date and a specific time. So they're like, no, I'm busy on Thursday. Or if they don't want to go, they can say, hey, I'm not available. That's part of honoring them. And yes, it is a risk, but we need to step up and ask instead of playing this game. Hey, you want to hang out? You want to, you know, do something sometime? They don't know what it is. I meet with people all the time, even guys who were asked the girl. They said, I asked her if she wanted to hang out. And we said, hey, let's grab coffee. And I say, okay, was it good? Was it a good date? Well, I don't know. I don't know if she realized it was a date. I wanted it to be a date, or she thought we were just hanging out as friends. They're confused about what they even asked the girl on. Are you going to get together again? I don't know. They said they would like to hang out. But again, did they want to hang out as friends? I don't know. Because you weren't clear. I talked to women. They're like, this guy took me out to coffee and hung out. But again, I don't know. Was that just professionally? Was that as a friend? Was that kind of a date? I don't know. Clarity is part of honoring. It's not that I had this all together, but I've been around good people and good, healthy relationships. So I realized how important this was when I asked Dawn out. See, I had the luxury of knowing my wife as a friend before we started dating. I know a lot of you are dating online. I have no issues with that. It's a little bit different world. But I knew Dawn as a friend, and I realized my feelings after we had known each other for years, my feelings towards her changed. And I realized, man, I want to take her on a date, and I need to be honest about that. And I didn't want to put my wife in the position, I'm now wife, in the position all of a sudden to have to come to me at some point and go, hey, it seems like things have changed. Like, what's going on? I didn't want her to have to come and say, hey, let's have a DTR. Do you know what a DTR is? That's the determine the relationship or define the relationship. I didn't want her to come and be like, hey, what's going on here? Are you into me, right? This is kind of getting weird. I'm like, I'm not going to put her in that position. I can tell you the exact time and place. I remember when I sat down and I said, Dawn, I want to take you on a date. I was clear. I say, if that's like something you don't want, that's fine. I won't be offended by that, but that's where I'm at. I just got to tell you, I would like to take you on a date and not just as friends, like a legit date. All right? And my time of freaking out passed, and she had to freak out about if she was going to say yes to that or not. But I didn't put her in a position to have to pursue me on that or to find out, hey, what's going on here? I knew when that changed and I wanted to ask her on a date, I needed to just put it out there. Men, I just need to address this real quick too. When I asked Dawn to date me, prior to that, we were friends. It wasn't like friends with benefits. People didn't sit back and go, hey, are they dating or not? That's kind of weird. It's like they're doing dating things, but they're not really committed. And they're, you know, let's stop playing that game. I talk to people all the time. It's like, oh yeah, we're making out and we're doing all these couple type things. Well, are you together? Not really. I'm thinking about really dating them. It's like, what's going on? Again, that's childish. That's immature. Let's stop playing games in our dating world. Men, we need to ask. I got to move on. Ladies, agree to dates. Again, this is not rocket science. Why? Why do you need to agree to this? One, it's preparation, it's practice, and we'll get more into this in a minute. But also, you set the standard. You remember, ladies, you set the standard when that guy first asks you out. If he comes up to you and says, hey, you want to hang out sometime? Why don't you say to him, well, do you have something specific planned? Because you want him to have something specific planned. And whatever bar you set from the beginning, that's the bar. It's probably not going to get any better than that. And guys, you should not be offended by that they say, hey, do you have something specific planned? Because you should be able to plan, and they believe the best about you, and you have the ability to plan. Don't walk up to them and go, hey, you want to hang out sometime, until they finally go, well, you know, well, maybe we should get coffee, because now they've asked you out. Ladies, if you throw out the option, now you've asked them out. Guys, we need to step up. And ladies, you need to say yes. It's part of preparing for relationships. Guys, if she asks you, hey, what are we going to do, or have a plan, or if you're going to ask me out, she's not being a boss. She's not being another B word, which I hope you never say about women. All right? She has a high expectation of you, and you should come with a plan. I had a good friend, not had, I have a great friend, and she loves the Lord. And there came a time in her life where she's like, I think I'm ready to get married. I'm ready to move into relationship. And she was dating online. And so she just decided, I'm going to go on dates. I'm going to go on dates. I need to say yes. That's part of honoring of these men who are asking. I'm going to go on dates. If it doesn't feel totally creepy and it doesn't seem dangerous, I'm going to say yes to these online dates. Because all of us have this list. We think, oh, this is what the perfect person looks like. And she said, you know what? I got to throw that out the window. I just need to start going on dates, and I'm going to learn from every date. And she's got some crazy first date stories. But she went on dates, and you know what? She finally met the man that she's now married to, and they have an awesome family, and he loves the Lord. But she says, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it in a healthy way, and I'm going to say yes. I'm going to be mature, and I'm going to be adult about it. But part of saying yes and accepting the date means, too, in maturity, that if you don't want to go out with that person again, you can say no the next time. There's a maturity to that. No, I don't see this working. I don't see us having a second date. But say yes to dates. All right, number three, don't ever mistreat anyone, even if they don't seem to mind being mistreated. If you're a follower of Christ, we shouldn't even have to say this. But we have to say this. Some of us have been in relations with people that have really hard backgrounds, some people that have come out of some really hard relationships. And we realize, like, oh man, I can kind of get away with some stuff. I can say some stuff. I can do some stuff. I can joke around in a way maybe that's not really the most loving, but it's so much better than they had before. And so they don't mind it. They're just happy to be with me. And we mistreat people. And some of them don't mind being mistreated. They seem to be okay with it, but we still know what is right. When we manipulate, when we mistreat, there's just cowardice in that. When we mislead somebody, there's cowardice in that. Don't manipulate. Don't play games. We don't mistreat people, even if they don't seem to mind being mistreated. We do what we know is right. The command is to love, Jesus says, as I have loved you, not love as they'll accept it. We love as he has loved. Let me talk about this for a minute. Let me put a thought up on the screen. truth hurts less than betrayal. When you're in a relationship, you need to be able to share the truth with people. If it's time for you to break up, if it's time for the relationship to end, instead of going, you know what, I'll just kind of hang back and I'll mistreat them, or I'll ignore the relationship until they break up with me, or I'll just ghost them, or I'll just disappear. That's what's happening in our immature dating culture and our childish dating culture. Instead, why not step up and share the truth? Because the truth is honoring. I wrote this: hurtful truth is honoring. Trying to save someone's feelings is demeaning, because it says to them, you cannot handle the truth. This is all undone under the canopy, right, of the fact that we don't mistreat people. We don't speak the truth to hurt people. But the truth, even if it hurts, is better than betrayal. If we have to say to somebody, hey, I don't see this relationship going anywhere, I think we need to break up, or we are breaking up, that's better than just disappearing on somebody. Mature relationship knows how to handle the hard, difficult, what I'll call the adult conversation, and we need to bring some maturity back in to our dating world. Number four, don't allow yourself to be mistreated. You're too good for that. I'm not saying this out of arrogance that, oh, we're so great. I'm not saying this to puff you up or to pump you up. This is what your Heavenly Father says about you. This is way beyond what I can say. This is what your Heavenly Father says about you, that you are too good to be mistreated. Your Heavenly Father says you have so much value that he will bring his son. We celebrate this every week. We celebrate the cross of the communion, that he would send his son to die on the cross and conquer death for you. He says, that's how much I love you. That's how much value you have. So why would you allow yourself to be mistreated in a relationship? In the dating realm, in the dating world, you got to understand, when you start dating for a year, first 18 months, there is actually brain chemistry that changes. We call it infatuation. We see the person we're dating better than they honestly really are. And they see us better than we are. There is actual brain chemistry to this, right? We call falling in love, or the feeling of infatuation. So when we're dating somebody early on, we are putting our best foot forward and we see them as the best we can see them. And if you're being mistreated, even in that dating part of life, it's not going to get any better. And something is really off. And it might be time to say no to that relationship. Here's something to think about. If you saw someone treat your best friend, your brother, your sister, your niece, your nephew, the way that that person is treating you, would you be upset? If you would be upset seeing other people be treated the way you're being treated, then something is wrong and you should be upset too. And it's time to say enough is enough. There's no reason for you to allow yourself to be mistreated. If you allow yourself to continually be mistreated, it's going to become your new normal. And that is not the normal you want for those of you who are in the dating part of life. Number five, simply this: do everything possible to love. Again, this is all under the framework of Jesus saying, you love as I have loved you. What does this mean? It means that I love people in a dating relationship. I care for them, whether I think I'm gonna get married to them or not. In the dating world, as I'm dating, I treat them well because I want you and I want me to have a good story. I want to move forward out of that dating relationship if it ends, being able to talk about what happened in there, not having to be ashamed of what happened in there, not being burdened about what happened in there, not having to sweep it under the rug, not having to hide it, not thinking, oh, I'm gonna have to lie about this for the rest of my life. I hope nobody knows what happens in that relationship. Some of you are in dating relationships right now where there are things happening in that relationship where people are being mistreated or manipulated, or things that are happening for those of you who are Christ followers that are not honoring to the Lord. And there are things right now in your relationship that you go, I hope nobody ever knows this, then you're not doing the relationship in the way that God would have you do relationship. We need to do everything possible to love. We want to write a good story. For some of you, this is the point. Maybe today is the point where you have been mistreating and manipulating and doing a lot of ugly stuff in your relationship, and you come forward or in your past relationships, and this is the day where you're going to put a stake in the ground and you're like, I'm going to write a different story. Going forward, I'm going to have to say, hey, I didn't handle that well. It was childish. It was immature. But going forward, I'm going to start acting in a way of love. Whether I end up dating that and marrying that person, or dating that person and breaking up, or whatever happens, I'm going to be able to look back on that and say, you know what? I'm okay with what happened there because I did everything possible to love. Going back to what Paul wrote at the very beginning, what we read about what love is: it is kind, it is patient, it is selfless, all those things. Let me do a quick little exercise with you this morning. Imagine you have a little box in front of you. You can close your eyes. You don't have to, but just imagine there's a box in front of you that you're going to put some stuff in this morning. And I want you to put everything in that box that you've gained, that you've found value in from the following things. What would you put in? What would you say you've gained? Not just found value in, but what have you gained? What have you accumulated because of these things? Some hard things that happen in our dating culture. What goes in the box? What's been gained from binge dating? From hookups, whatever you would call a hookup to be? From lying your way in or manipulating your way into a relationship? Lying your way out of a relationship because you couldn't have the hard adult conversation? What did you gain from the pregnancy test that you took in fear? What did you gain from the nights where you look back and go, well, I can't really remember exactly what happened? What have you gained from the things in your relationship that cause you guilt or shame or heartbreak? What do you gain from the stories, the things that have happened in your relationships that you hope nobody ever knows, the things that you don't ever want to share? What have you gained from that? And I would just say to you, as I think about my life and my dating life and the things I gained from some of those, you know, manipulative things, those immature things that are in the box, here's what we gain. I've gained a past at times that I'm tempted to lie about. I don't want to be a liar, but I've done things that I don't always want to just share openly. I've done some things in the past and have things in that box that did not set me up and have not set me up well for future relationships. Didn't prepare me well. It didn't put me on a good path. I have things in the past that I don't want for my own daughters and for some of you, for your own sons and nieces and nephews. Things I look back on and go, I don't want that for their relationship life. I don't want that for their romantic life. I don't want that for their life of intimacy in the future. That's what I've gained, things that really have no lasting value, and it didn't set me up for anything good. So here's where it comes back to Jesus. Following Jesus in the realm of romance and dating, it sets you up to care for people in a way that you won't have to be ashamed of. Following Jesus in this area of romance and dating will prepare you and it will protect you for the relationship that you want that honors God. It prepares us and protects us. When we do things God's way, there is a blessing that comes with it. And it sets us up, it prepares us well, and it protects us from the things of the past that we don't have to be ashamed of. If you don't want a relationship like the majority of relationships, don't date like the majority of daters. Some of you in the room, maybe you're like, man, you know what? I need to take a break from dating. I need to stop dating for a month or 6 months, and I need to reset because as I look at it, I've been really following along with culture, and the dating culture is very childish, and it's immature, and I just don't need to continue to walk like that. I want to love people well. I want to write a good story, so I'm going to take a break, and I'm going to reset, and I'm going to get back in dating in a month or 6 months or a year, and I'm going to have some maturity. I'm going to bring some maturity to that because we want to live out love the way that New Testament calls us to live out love. You want to set yourself up well for marriage by dating well, by treating people well, by caring for them, by not manipulating them. So this week, 5 rules for dating. Next week, we'll pick up where we left off in our love, dates, and heartbreaks. Would you pray with me? Father, as we talk about dating, it is messy. It does get complicated. There's so much going on. But God, there's people in this room that they want to date in a healthy way. More importantly, they want to date in a way that's honoring to you, God. So would you give them the boldness to build up these muscles, to handle their relationships in a mature way, in an honest way. God, there are people in this room this morning that are single. They would love to date. They would love to be married, God. They're leaning on you for that. And so, God, I pray that you would bring the right person into their life at the right time. But God, even more important than that, that we would be able to look back at the way we're handling our relationships and we would be able to say, we're doing it the way our Savior did it. We're doing it the way that Jesus would call us to do it. And in that, we would write a good story. In that, we wouldn't have things we have to be ashamed about or burdened about. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.